Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
The date was Thursday, March 9th, 1989. It was a rainy day, and I, too, was raining from my eyes as I was born. A blonde head with blue eyes. My parents were happy. I was sad. I turned away my head as they looked my way.
I have a question for you. Are you wearing your black turtleneck on purpose today, or is this just coincidence?
It's a coincidence.
I just happen to be wearing a black turtleneck and just happen to be giving the Eric speech from his one-man show. I think your version.
It's a Wednesday, November 3rd, 2021. The irony is not lost on me.
Well,
but here I am, Jesus. In despair.
You're in despair. I'm in despair.
Woke up 30 minutes late from my doctor's appointment. They sent me away when I got there today.
I think what we need to do is we just need to, like, I wish this was April 1st and we could just prank the listeners and have this entire podcast be Sarah's one-woman show. Because I feel like that would be amazing. But we can't do that, Sarah, because it's not just me and you today. We have a special guest, and this is the first time she's ever been on the show, and I feel like she's already getting the vibes of, like, what did I sign up for? Why did I ask to be here today?
Because I did ask. That's the thing, is I very much volunteered myself for this.
Your fault. The voice that you just heard is the wonderful Melissa Woodward. Melissa, how are you?
I'm good. It's nice to be on. And yeah, I very much was talking to these two and I was like, so I've never been on your podcast. I don't know if that's like a thing we want to fix or not.
Yes. Very much a public shaming of why have I not been invited yet? And the reason was, I don't think I knew that you had watched Boy Meets World. Like, I don't believe it had ever come up in conversation. If it did, I don't remember it. So why don't you give us a little bit of like your background on your history with the show?
Yeah, I watched this show as it was airing on Fridays on TGIF. Did you had TGIF? Yeah. So yeah, it was like Sabrina the Teenage Witch and Boy Meets World was like the staples of TGIF when I was growing up. And I watched all of this. I remember when this show ended, this was like a big show in my childhood. Yeah. I remember watching a lot of this. My big thing with Boy Meets World is that like my family watched it and would quote, you haven't got to it yet, but there's a scene later where they find that I believe it's Sean at one point is in his underwear. And
I think it's or something.
And I think it's Eric pulls like a sleeping bag or a blanket or something away and yells underpants at him.
Oh yeah, underpants. Underpants.
Yes.
Yeah.
My family would say that to each other randomly a lot.
And it's like what in context.
No context at all. Just very randomly.
Just underpants.
Yeah. So underpants. It was one of those things where I was like, oh man, like how much did I watch Boy Meets World growing up? Like when would I, and I was thinking about it and I was like, oh right, we quoted that one line a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes I look back, like specifically these two episodes, the second episode, like I very much remembered, and not only that, I was able to quote some of it. And so then I wonder, like, is it just, does it unlock something in my brain from when I had a better memory? Or have I seen these episodes so many times that they just like are ingrained in my brain? I don't know. It could be either. As I've gotten older, I've definitely gotten worse memory, though. So maybe those things are just things that have stuck with me. But that's funny. I had absolutely no idea. Because I guess, so Melissa's Canadian for the uninitiated. So I didn't think about like what channels you all had up there, because sometimes you didn't have the same channels as us. So some shows we know about in the States, you've like never heard of, or if you've heard of them, you didn't watch them when you were kids.
For sure. And like the we didn't really have the Disney Channel.
Yeah.
Growing up. We talked about this recently because things like Halloween Town was like not a movie I watched growing up because we didn't have Disney Channel original movies. I didn't even know that that's what DCOM
meant.
Whatever. Yeah. But Boy Meets World, I think, was on, I can't remember what channel it would have been, you know, what channel.
For us, it was like ABC Family. Once it was like syndication, I think was ABC Family, but it must have been ABC proper when it was actually on.
Right. Yeah. And like we still, most of the content that we consumed was American television.
Yeah.
It was on just like different numbered channels. I also watched Girl Meets World. I heard y'all talking about.
So, you okay?
I just refused to watch it.
I didn't think it was. I felt so much nostalgia for it. I didn't hate it.
Oh, this is a hot take. This is a spicy take to walk into the podcast with.
Yeah.
I just can't get over the fact that they had the audacity to like make that show and then like not really live up to the. Because I've seen some stuff. I haven't seen the full show, but like it feels like callbacks for callback's sake versus like actually building upon an existing world, an existing, you know, property. And that, I guess, is my problem with it, is like they're just trying to manipulate us. All these 90s kids, they're like, oh, you must have children now. Make them watch this show or you yourself can watch it and I won't fall for their tricks.
Oh, my issue with my issue with Girl Meets World is more so we give props to Boy Meets World all the time for being a very mature show that trusts its viewers and had grown with its viewers and touched on really hard topics. While I feel as though Girl Meets World, and I think that this is just kind of more so on how TV treats children in the year 2021 or the late, I don't know, in recent years, they dumb down shows and they don't trust their viewers anymore to connect the dots. They have to, instead of, I don't know, they have to be like ridiculous or silly and they can't get into heavier topics. Mm-hmm. And I think that's like the charm and what made Boy Meets World special. They didn't carry over to Girl Meets World.
I just think they like they play it safe almost. Like they're afraid of getting any backlash from any parent who's like, how dare you call this a kid show? Like my kid watched this and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but I think that's really just like how Disney shows are made these days and what's currently on television.
Yeah.
So
I think that's very true. Like, there's a lot that I remember that Boy Meets World dealt with. Like, even, you know, these episodes included. And the only thing that really stands out for me about Girl Meets World is that I enjoyed whenever Sean was on because I felt like I feel like he's the heart of the show originally. And he brought that same heart to Girl Meets World. But otherwise, I totally agree. Like, it's very much fluffier than the original.
It feels more Full House than it does Boy Meets World, right? Like, Full House always felt like that show that ends in a hug. Everybody hugs, everybody's happy at the end of the episode. I don't feel like Boy Meets World is necessarily that way. Yes, there's a lot of hugs. There's a lot of, like, family stuff. But they do deal with harder topics. And they do it in such a nuanced, special way. It's one of the reasons we wanted to cover this show. So that's very interesting, though, to hear about it. I love hearing people's stories of, like, have you watched Girl Meets World? Because I feel like a lot of us have. A lot of the people who grew up in the 90s have. Because you hear about it and you're like, oh, now I have to check this out, you know? But let's get into the episodes proper. So we're covering season 4 episodes 10 and 11. FYI to those listening, Disney Plus, for some reason, this happened to us once before. I don't know if it was in season 1 or what season it was in, that, like, Disney Plus has them out of order from, like, what the wiki says, what the DVDs have, what the original airing was. We're watching in the original airing order. So we're today, we're covering Turkey Day, and we are covering what's the name of the other one?
An Affair to Forget.
Yes, that's the one. So if you didn't watch those ones, you know, pause down or whatever. We don't want to, I don't know, spoil you. And this is a very old show.
Confuse you.
Yes.
But it is confusing.
It is. Let's start off with Turkey Day, because you know what? It kind of is perfect that we're covering this episode now, because it kind of is like halfway between the two Thanksgivings, the American Thanksgiving and Canadian Thanksgiving. So perfect time to be covering a Thanksgiving episode. We start off in Feeny's class and they're learning about, like, the conflict in Rwanda, which I, like, obviously I know about, but I had forgotten that they even mentioned this on the show. Sarah, were you, like, impressed that they had, like, the Tutsis and the Hutus on here?
Yeah, very topical. I feel as though I don't know. Feeny's definitely in the know. But Corey and Sean are not. They are thinking that, like, Feeny's given up with teaching, is just making stuff up now.
Yeah, the words are not familiar to them at all. They don't believe that Rwanda, Tutsis are, like, real. I mean, fair. I can understand why they would think Tutsis is something to giggle at, Melissa.
Yeah, like, it's obviously not a great look, but it's, it was interesting because I can't remember around the time. Like, I remember when Hotel Rwanda came out.
And we watched it in class.
I feel like it's got to be kind of like a similar time. This was like a huge international story. And so I thought it was just kind of interesting. Yeah. That this is then being used as this opportunity to talk about, like, class prejudice on this children's show. I thought that was kind of cool. And yeah, I always love anything to do with Feeny. I will say most of my notes for this are just like, oh, I love this character. Oh, I love this character. Oh, I love this character. But Feeny is, like, obviously one of those. That's right. Everything he says.
Yeah. I feel like Feeny is kind of, like, getting into more of, like, his, like, warm, like, I want to hug Feeny, and less so like, oh, yeah, Feeny's on my case about doing my homework, Feeny.
Yeah.
So I like, especially the stuff with Eric. It's just like, I, you know, they're, as Amy said, they're great together. Mm-hmm. So I'm really enjoying Feeny. We used to get the critique that we did not show enough appreciation for Feeny, but that's because he was telling us to do homework and he gave us rulers for Halloween. So yeah. We like this Feeny more. However, he still is giving out papers during holiday weekends, which I feel as though is really wrong.
It's tough, right? Like, you have a holiday break. I feel like there's only so much you can expect from your students, and to give out an entire paper assignment over Thanksgiving break seems a little rough, in my opinion, because it's not even a whole week, right? Like, do they get a whole week, actually? They might. I just know for work I don't, but maybe kids do.
I mean, but Thursday is the holiday. Friday, you're too busy shopping at 4 a.m.
Exactly. Who has the time?
Who has time to do papers?
But they're doing a food drive, and of course, Corey and Sean won. And the reason they won is apparently because every single year they pull the same scam. Sean gets cans from the food bank, and then he donates the same cans year after year. And they win a turkey and stuffing. Melissa, did you find it odd that they were just given a turkey in the middle of the school day?
Yeah, like, that. Where is that turkey going to be stored for the next, like, 4 hours?
I don't know.
Where has it been stored?
Gross. Yeah,
but I do love that they're both, like, the stuffing, though. Like, we care about is we both all just can want agree. The stuffing
is the best part. And it's boxed stuffing. I didn't see a stovetop label, But if we assume it's stovetop, I'm on board with this stuffing.
I bought stuffing today at the grocery store.
Did you?
Yeah, because it was all – like all the Thanksgiving stuff was out. So I grabbed a couple of like cranberries. I grabbed the stuffing. So I'm ready. I'm ready to make the stuffing.
How are you going to make a turkey in your tiny oven though?
Oh, so that's like the thing. And I told Drew that I don't want Cornish hens. So I don't know if like I've talked about this before. My oven is comically small. It is legitimately 20 inches. It's a baby oven.
It's so tiny.
And no, you cannot fit a turkey in the oven. And we usually do Cornish hens. And I said that I didn't want the Cornish hens this year because they're too much work for not enough reward. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what we're going to do. We have to like find like
there a must
small
be a
turkey.
Restaurant or something that will like you could get a turkey from.
Yeah, I guess so. That's maybe a good idea. Or like a turkey breast, like just get a turkey breast.
Oh, you definitely could just buy a turkey breast. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a struggle.
Eat, like, not turkey.
We made a chicken last year.
Turkey's not that good.
Yeah. I prefer chicken, honestly.
Well, so like nobody needs to know this, but like for Christmas, we did lobsters last year. So I don't know.
It's fancy.
I don't
did
know.
They not turn out great, Sarah?
Drew's not going to listen to this. Drew doesn't listen to the podcast. I did not enjoy the lobsters, but he wants lobster again. I'm like, ugh.
Maybe get lobster tails. Like, I feel like
that's what we did.
Oh, you did. Oh,
I don't know.
Anyway, so
I would just at this rate, I just want the stuffing, just like the boys.
Yeah, I don't blame you. They both are arguing over the stuffing because, of course, it's the best part. And they decide the only way that this will work out is if both of their families have Thanksgiving together. That is the resolution to this issue. Very cute. But I don't know. I've never done a Thanksgiving that I can think of with anybody besides just my immediate family. Melissa, what about you? Have you ever done like something like this where it's like your friends' families get together or something?
Like I've done Friendsgiving.
I've done that. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I've never done like I've always wanted to be that person. Like I always think like when I'm hosting, I want to be the person that just like, oh, you have nowhere to go? Like come over and I want all the orphans to come and like have Thanksgiving with me. Our Thanksgiving was also a month ago, but just confirm that. But no, I've never done this. I also it is kind of this very maybe a bit like juvenile idea of like, oh, we're best friends and therefore our families will be best friends. Won't everything be perfect because we can all just hang out all the time. And it's like, okay, but like
Though your families really haven't met that much. And the one time they did, it was when Sean's father was dropping him off for indefinitely and Alan was not very pleased with it. So it's kind of like, well, if they have any relationship, it's not that great.
Yeah, exactly. I think that like a part of it going into this conversation is that it's not like Alan and Amy have zero knowledge of what kind of people Chet and Verna are, because they just came off of an entire year where Chet and Verna ran off and abandoned their son. Like, that is just something to think about. Now, I will not be defending Alan and Amy throughout this episode, but if I had to play devil's advocate, that's the one thing I can throw into the conversation.
Yeah. It seems like neither family is interested in it. Alan and Amy don't want to. Amy says it's a family holiday. The Hunters aren't interested, mainly because Chet says he said they'd be mixing the classes. He just doesn't think that they belong together. But Verna wants to do it. She says she thinks it sounds nice. Like, she is the one person who seems like very into this idea. And as much shade as I have thrown at Verna in the past for her actions, I have to say, I feel like she makes the most effort here, Melissa, of all of the adults.
Yeah, this was very heavy-handed, and I felt like it could have. I get that it's a children's show, and so like it has to be like, hey everyone, do you get it? Sean's family is poor and Corey's family is less poor, and therefore they're not friends. It's like, okay, I understand. But yeah, I do think it would have been interesting to think back to like why Corey's family isn't very close with Sean's family, right? Like, because it is kind of weird if you've been friends for this long. Like, my best friend growing up, like, our moms were friends, you know, like they obviously weren't like the absolute best of friends and our whole families didn't get along, mm-hmm. but like they still had to chaperone field trips yeah. together. And,
they could,
you know,
sit down and have a normal conversation.
Yeah, it wasn't quite so weird of like, oh, we have literally never, you know, had an extended conversation together. Yeah, it was weird. But yeah, and Fern is at least like, yeah, we'll make the best of it and we'll be fine. And then I love Chet Hunter. I like seeing him made me emotional, not to like spoil things to come, but mm-hmm. it was, I like had a lot of feelings when he popped up on my screen.
He's a
like,
very iconic cool. character.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love him calling her a social climber.
Like she is a social climber. She doesn't want them over to like have tea. She wants them over so that she can get ingrained in like high society of Cedar Oaks or whatever it's called.
I mean, I don't think necessarily that's a bad thing that she wants like more out of life, right? Like we already know she wanted Chet to get a job. She was tired of living like paycheck to paycheck. She wanted to pay the bills.
Normal, Chet.
Yeah, I want to be normal. Yeah. So it's like I don't necessarily blame her. And so I love Verna calling the Matthews with a tip that there's a goat that you have to watch out for and you can't wear camo because it bothers the bear.
but you can't wear red for the goat. Like, I'm sorry, it's not a bull. I don't understand. Why can't you wear red?
Goat
in front
hates
of the goat?
Red. I don't know.
I'm like offended by the color red. I felt like goats are colorblind. I don't know. Of course she's wearing red in that scene.
I don't know if goats are colorblind, but they do have rectangular pupils, just yeah. as a fun goat fact.
What does that do? What does that mean?
I have no idea, but it's a true fact. Like,
interesting.
Goat pupils.
Now I want to go stare at some looking. Goats.
That, yeah, don't. Like, I feel like they can hypnotize you. But they're in rectangular pupils. And yeah, and there's bears. There's a lot of stuff happening.
I know. There's a lot of things happening in this trailer park. And then we get this scene with Frankie. Now, here's the thing. We've seen a lot of Frankie recently, and I'm loving it personally. Like, I really love Frankie as a character. I really hated Joey, and I'm happy he's, like, cut loose from that ball and chain that he didn't need. And we get more Herman. We know I love. Herman is the cutest little guy ever. I'm curious as to why they keep including them in these episodes, because they are quite tertiary characters at this point, Sarah. Like, why do you think, do they think like the viewers just like loved him?
I think
him?
America loves Frankie yeah. and they love little Herman.
Yeah. And it's, the scene we get is so cute because Frankie walks in and he talks to Alan and he's like, I want to discuss a dating situation about Morgan.
No.
Call the cops.
No. Yeah. Leave. And he's like, no, you misunderstand me. It's for, my little brother Herman, and he comes and he gives her flowers and he has this little speech prepared. Dear Matthew's family, especially the father, I request the presence.
Ew.
Like, yeah, no, that's gross. This is the yeah. 90s. What? That you're like,
know,
especially
I know
the father.
It's the 90s, but I still oh, hate that's it. I can still okay. hate it. But
yeah, anyway. Like asking for permission from their father, like the
yeah,
whole
like
thing.
She's his property.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. That I hear you. But I request the presence of Morgan Matthews for an after-dinner piece of pumpkin pie. the word around the block is that the Matthews will be in the vicinity for Thanksgiving. And this is what I love about this episode. Morgan wants to go, and she doesn't say, like, ew, like, he's a boy, or, like, ew, he's not, like, a popular boy, or ew, he's part of the trailer park. Like, she wants to go, and she's, like, he's very, like, romantic with her, little Herman, and she's, like, you know, she's not, like, oh, like, into it, like, I don't know, like, in a teenager would be,
yeah.
but she's amused
she's into
by
it, in a kid way,
and
like,
she
should
it.
Be,
yeah. And I like that she's not, like, ew, like, boys or like, ew, it's Herman. Like, I'm very, very, very glad that she was like into it. And I was like, oh, little Morgan, so open-minded.
Yeah. And like, I love Herman's warning about the goat. Don't underestimate him. He's wily.
He's wily.
I just love Herman. Like, everything Herman says, he's just so like sophisticated for his age. So we're now at the Hunter's house. It is Thanksgiving now, and we see the Matthews walking up. Amy left her purse in the car, and she says, like, you know, I don't want to leave it in the car. Everyone seems to be having, like, a very negative, you know, attitude about the entire situation. Like, I don't blame Amy. Like, I don't leave my purse in the car, like, anywhere I go. But it feels like the reason she's saying it is because they're at the trailer park. I don't know. A lot of stuff this episode gave me like quite icky vibes from both sides. And it starts with the Matthews. Morgan says she has to pee. And then Amy's like, not until you get home. They have bathrooms, Amy. This is a trailer park. It's not like, you know, a fair. Like, there's not porta potties. Like, Melissa, there's indoor plumbing in trailers. What is going on here?
I know. Yeah, that's the thing. It's just this whole episode felt, it was just a bit heavy-handed. Like, I felt like there was, I don't know, like maybe there was a way to do this. The other thing is that, like, these two families are not that different, right? Like, it's not like the Matthews are some, like, upper echelon, like...
They're, like, lower middle class, probably.
They're, like, lower middle class versus lower class. Like, it's not that huge. And, yeah, there's indoor plumbing and... It's, I don't know. But I agree. Like, don't leave your purse in the car. I've done that. This is how you get your purse stolen, your car broken into, and, like, you have to put an alert on your social insurance number for the next several years. So, you know, been there, done that. Don't do it.
So the Matthews are looking for the Hunter's house, and because Corey runs off to go get the purse. And, of course, they see the Hunters. And Alan, I mean, anybody would think this. Literally anybody would think, oh, Hunter isn't a name. Maybe it's Hunter and the H fell off. But this guy, Sarah, is so pissed off that Alan would even imagine that he
very is offended. He's like, oh, you think that if like a letter didn't fall off, then I wouldn't replace it. And he doesn't like the fact that they're from not around there. He thinks that Morgan is bragging about being from a, you know, a neighborhood like Cedar Heights. And right away, he just doesn't like the Matthews vibe. And he doesn't like, I don't know, people that don't belong, newcomers. It's very, like, right away, he's, like, very resistant. And Alan and Amy spend this entire episode backtracking and putting their foot in their mouth, and it just keeps getting worse and worse. Like, there's a difference between having like a, you know, a simple mistake and then judging. I think they went into this with a judgy attitude.
Absolutely.
From the beginning.
They never went in with an open mind, which is the problem, right? Like, you're going to someone else's house, like, be respectful, be kind, and like, welcome them. You know what I mean? Like, don't be judgmental, which is, it feels like a lot of what's happening across the board in this episode is judgment. So Sean invites them in. Alan brought wine, and I don't know if it's just me, but the way Alan says, like, oh, I brought you a nice bottle of wine.
Yeah, totally.
Right? Like, there's something coded there in him saying a nice bottle of wine. And Chet says, oh, I already had a plan for a big box of wine. The least we can do is drink your wine. But Verna means well, but I feel like this is a terrible idea, that she wants to mix the wine. She wants to pour the boxed wine and the bottle of wine together and put... Sarah, you are a sangria enthusiast.
I am.
Are you supposed to put bananas in sangria?
I've never put bananas in my sangria ever.
Like, this sounds gross.
I've never heard of bananas in sangria.
I put citrus, oranges, lemon, limes, apples.
Cherries maybe?
Yeah, I've never, but that doesn't seem crazy. Maybe like a plum moment if you're acting like really, really zesty. White sangria, a peach white sangria or nectarine. Lovely. Never put bananas in my sangria. Bananas and oranges for
like the smush, right?
Yeah. Friendship sangria. Now that seems a little off. I'm assuming that that's the produce that they currently have. But it's like, you know, it's very customary. If somebody brings a bottle of wine, that you open the bottle of wine. Yeah. And then it's one bottle of wine. You finish the bottle of wine and then you move on to the box wine. Like, when you bring a bottle of wine to somewhere, unless like there's like times where like people stow it away if it's like a really nice bottle of wine. But no, you like drink. It's not a big deal. It's like, you shouldn't be offended by the fact that somebody's bringing you a bottle of wine. Like, that's very around my parts. That's very customary. That would not offend.
No, I've never been offended by a bottle of wine.
You bring a bottle of wine and then you leave it there and then they can have nice wine another day.
There's clearly just like so much going on here, right? Like, Chet clearly feels what Alan is saying about, like, oh, like, I brought you this nice bottle of wine. Like, he's clearly picking up what Alan is implying here and being like, no, we had it covered. It's fine. But yeah, no, like, bringing wine to a dinner is, like, pretty customary.
It's very normal.
It shouldn't be this fraught with tension.
I know. I guess there's just, like, so much subtext that, like, it's just, like, overflowing.
Well, and the show really is beating us over the head with it. Like, what is what is the whole cheese situation here?
Like, she got, like, she made a dish with cheese.
I think it was Gruyere, maybe?
Gruyere. Yeah, sounds great. And, you know, I think it's the fact that, like, Amy had, like, Verna had it just on, like, a simple, like, plastic or metal platter, and then Amy, like, offers her a dish, whatever the dish may be, and this beautiful
like, this porcelain crock or something.
Yeah, and then I think Verna gets very, like, self-conscious that her servingware is not as nice as what Amy would have done at her home, so she's like, oh, like, you know, I'm sure at your house, like, you would have done this with the cheese. And Amy's like, no, like, it's totally fine. It's, like, not a big deal. And then she gets, like, self-conscious and she's like, oh, like, maybe I should have, like, gone out to do, maybe I should do this now. It gets very, very, like, it's just, like, foot and mouth awkwardness. The two of them together is just awkward. And, you know, Chet is like, I told you this night wasn't going to go well to Verna, but I don't know. It really, really, really just becomes one disaster after the next for no reason at all, to be honest with you.
Like, Melissa, I mean, you know I love cheese. Like, Gruyere is a good cheese.
Yeah, it's, like, a fancy cheese.
It is. It's very fancy. Like,
that's not a cheese you melt in a microwave. You know? It's fancy cheese.
You can melt any cheese in a microwave.
She starts out good, though, but then, like, eventually the
cheese whiz comes out.
She keeps, like, bringing out more and more snacks. Like, will this snack appease you? Can I offer you this snack? And it gets, like, trashier, quote unquote trashier and trashier, but, like, it's like, you know, Verna gets so self-conscious about what she's serving that it's like, it's just, it gets, Verna, it's okay.
I feel like cheese whiz was over the top, because, like, even growing up, my family would not have served, like, cheese whiz. Like, I feel like if they weren't trying to hit us over the head with this, it would be like store-bought cheese versus you know, like, the fancy cheese that you buy near the produce section. You know what I mean? Like, the, you know, a store brand. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, Hannaford brand or the fancy Gruyere.
I hate cheese. I'm not eating any of that cheese.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
I know.
Yeah.
This is what I have to deal with.
I don't want any of it. I'm just going to wait until the stuffing.
Oh. So all this cheese nonsense is happening. And poor Corey and Sean are trying to, like, hold things together. Just, like, let's tie it together. Just keep them batting down the hatches. Amy asks Chet if everything is okay. And he's like, oh, Verna's having a bout. He asks if she has, like, I don't know what he says, like, female pills in her purse. Like, Melissa, what is he even referring to?
Female calming pills? Like, excuse me?
Like, no, they're talking about, like, anxiety meds, right?
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, it's like he might as well, like, have called her hysterical. Right, like, jeez. And then we get a knock at the door, and it's Hunter. And, like, to be honest, I didn't have a strong memory of this episode, and I did not remember this subplot of, like, Hunter and all of these other, like, trailer park residences. So he says the Trailer Park Homeowners Association needs to have a meeting with Chet. It's an emergency meeting. This entire scene, I was, like, baffled. Just baffled, Melissa, that they had the audacity to have this Herbert guy come out. Herbert the Hermit is what I called him. He comes out and he starts going on and on and on about this is a peaceful land and there's no envy and there's no shame. And apparently they're not even allowed to have visitors. What's going on?
Yeah, that was the note that I wrote. Has no one ever visited this trailer park before?
I mean, apparently they missed Claire sneaking in and out, Sarah, because she was just there.
Yeah, I know. The Homeowners Association didn't see Claire, or she got a guest pass. It's so ridiculous. Yeah, they're like, you know, you brought an outsider in here. And they basically say, like, you have to kick them out. Like, they're not welcome here. Insanity. And this is where Verna is, like, you know, bringing out all the snacks.
Cheese was on a rice chex and an olive with a pimento on it, I think is what she said.
There's, like, one olive, yeah.
Wow.
I'm so confused.
Oh, gosh.
Aren't pimentos in olives? Why is it on it? Going on.
It's disgusting. It sounds, I don't want olives. You don't want olives? The whole thing. You know what? I would just eat the Chex.
I'm so, you don't eat olives.
No.
Green olives, black olives, none of them. Melissa, tell me you eat olives.
Most hated food.
I don't like olives either.
Oh, no.
Most people don't.
That's so strange to me because I just.
I don't know, like most people. There is like a whole theory. No, I think. It, right?
Yeah, like, the olive theory. Yeah.
Some people don't.
I feel like that is a common one that people don't like is olives. I love like on Thanksgiving or any holiday, honestly, where you have like the like, I don't know what to call it besides like a pickled plate. So you have like your pickles, your dill pickles, your gherkins, your olives. You know, you got all your like canned pickled items on a platter. Sarah looks like I'm like insane right now. Melissa, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And I am a pickle fiend.
Yes.
So I will eat all of the pickles and leave the olives behind.
I'll eat all of it. It all sounds great.
Yeah, I was at a Halloween party recently and a friend of mine who is also a very big olive fan or also a very big pickle fan like waved me over and he's like, can you come help eat these so that I don't eat the entire thing myself? So the two of us just like polished off the entire thing of pickles.
What's your preferred pickle? Are you a sour?
I don't really care. I kind of eat all of them.
Wow. I much prefer like a Vlasic dill. I like a crunchy dill. Even like a spicy dill I'll do a gherkin. I'm not as big of – I like the ones that are in hamburgers, but I hate – what is it? What are the ones that I don't like a half sour. Those taste like grossness.
Cucumbers?
They do taste like – they taste like someone didn't know how to pickle things properly.
Right. Yeah, that's
doesn't
fair.
Taste good. So Chet pulls aside Verna and Sean, and he says it's small talk time. He's going to go have a small talk with his family. You all small talking here. Eric is trying to like get out of this. Everyone seems to be in a cranky mood. And Amy tries to explain to Corey that they've never made friends with Chet and Verna. So like he has to understand that this is a little awkward, like solid point, you know, that they're not very good friends with them, but I still feel like they're not making an effort to even attempt to have normal conversation. And Alan says that because then Corey gets into the whole conversation about Rwanda and Alan says that, you know, being right isn't enough to change the way people feel, which I don't know. I just kind of hated that mentality, Sarah. Like, it just is sad to me.
This is just like a bunch of classist bullshit in this episode. And it's very uncomfortable. And it's like the worst that I've seen Alan and Amy. I just feel as though that. They're very ick this episode, and I think that they have a narrow-minded view set. And, I mean, at least, like, Chet has the pressure of the Homeowners Association to kick them out. Like, they're feeling, like, a little awkward, but they're not, like, judging the Matthews, really. They just feel, like, kind of talked down to throughout all of it. You know, Chet is even saying like he's not going to kick them out because that's rude, but he's going to hurry them along.
Melissa, did you catch that Chet calls them the Aristocats?
I did. I wrote it down.
I was like, okay, I knew you would catch it. I was like, I love that reference. Like, because I remember being a kid and like the first thing I knew about, like I knew the Aristocats before I knew what the word aristocrat meant.
Same.
And then you learn it in school and you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah, this was a joke the whole time, and I didn't realize. I just thought this was what these cats were called. Yeah.
So then we see the Matthews coming out because they're taking Morgan to Herman's trailer. First of all, you're going to get pumpkin pie already? You haven't eaten dinner yet, but that's fine. And then Chet, the audacity to ask somebody to crouch down as they walk away from the trailer so they're not seen.
He's trying to protect them. He probably thinks that they're going to get, like, snatched up by, like, have you ever run into an angry HOA? They'll ruin your life. They'll ruin your life and, like, My friend like really had bad beef with people in her HOA, and guess what happened? They stole the tire caps off their tires.
Whoa.
Oh. Yeah. You don't want to have a run-in with an angry mob.
This is why I don't live anywhere that has an HOA. Because that's like, yeah. No one's going to tell me what color I can paint my house. Like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
You find it so bizarre. Yeah. It's like, oh, you're not mowing your lawn frequently.
They measure your grass. Right? Well, weirdos. So do you have nothing better to do? So
that's the thing. It's like, no, people don't. Garbage.
That's their job. Yeah. So everyone is rushing dinner. We have like Amy and Alan and Verna and Chet like rushing through. They're rushing them through dinner. The kids aren't even there. Alan has broken 3 plastic forks and Verna like hands over the bag. And it gets like so awkward because then, you know, Alan's like, oh, maybe this one will work. And Verna finally tells or excuse me, Chet tells Verna, like, get him a metal fork. But Chet wants to give them all metal forks. But like, Verna is embarrassed that their metal forks don't match each other. I mean, I kind of get it. Like, I guess I can kind of see how this might be embarrassing if you feel like, well, rich people, all their forks match each other. But I don't know. Would you ever think of that being something that's embarrassing, Sarah?
Okay. I would be embarrassed. However, somebody served me. Like, I would be embarrassed if I put out non-matching metal forks because I'm insane. However, I don't think I would judge somebody if they served me with non-matching metal forks. You know what I mean? Like, I put the judgment on myself because I have like high expectations on like how I present my home and how I host because I'm literally insane.
Well, also, like, because you're in design and that probably is like a part of the way your brain works, right?
Yeah,
like that's
part
of your job.
Yeah, I can be very rigid. However, I would never judge somebody else if they had not matching forks.
Yeah, Melissa, this seems like very normal to me to not have matching forks.
It has never crossed my mind to be embarrassed about the fact that my forks don't match.
Yeah.
Like, I just haven't bought forks, right? Like, every fork I own is some hand-me-down.
Yeah. And wait, is it like literally if you just steal one fork from every restaurant that you go to for a year, forks. Then you have like a full set.
I moved out and my mom like gifted me random forks and you know, they were some random collection. And then I moved in with a roommate. And then when we, you know, moved into our own places, we just split up the forks and, you know, we didn't remember whose forks were whose at that point. And I just have a variety of forks. Most of them don't match. I would think plastic forks are more embarrassing than non-matching forks anyway.
That is how I felt. I felt like if you're serving plastic forks and you're eating a tough meat, that seems more embarrassing than using metal forks because the plastic forks are not going to cut through freaking turkey. Like, it's not going to happen.
When the prongs break off in your meat, it's like you know. It's like, and then you like bite into it and then like you're like, oh no. Another trip to the dentist's office.
And when I was growing up, we had like a mostly matching set, and there was one fork that looked different, and that was the special fork. And my brother and I would fight over who got to use the special fork that night.
Wow.
So like in our minds, different forks all the way. That's the special one. But so it's just like very awkward, the whole fork situation.
What's awkward is that Amy is like, oh, when we were starting off, like our forks didn't match either. And then they, once again, foot and mouth, like so awkward.
They're not starting out. Like, they're adults. They have a child. Like,
yeah, that was condescending for sure.
Yeah.
Very condescending.
Yeah.
You're right.
And Alan tries to help the situation by like stating the obvious of like, this isn't working out, you know, and Amy feels bad. She's like, you know, Vernie, you put so much work into this. And they both couples kind of just agree, you know, some people just don't get along and that's fine. But again, if you don't make an effort, of course, you're never going to get along.
Yeah, they haven't tried to get along. They've been so hung up in their own insecurity and their own awkwardness and belief of how things should be that they've like never even tried to have a conversation.
Yeah
They have things in common, their children, like
talk about
easy,
that
easy. Talk about that.
Yeah,
talk and about
all
the school.
Parents want to talk about their kids, you know, come on, ask a question, you know. You had Sean in your home for like a while, you know a decent amount about him, you know, ask questions. But Sean and Corey are over at Frankie's and they both are just blaming. I love this part of it, that they're each blaming their own parents versus blaming each other's parents. It just shows like their friendship and how good of a friendship and bond they have. Herman says it's a shame that they dislike each other. And Frankie compares them back to Rwanda, to the Hutus and the Tutsis. And Sean says, you know what? I'm like, I'm happy that we didn't know any of that because I'd rather not know and be able to be friends. And this is when we get Herman inviting them to stay. And it was like, I love this scene. I felt like it was very cute. And you get all the kids being like very accepting, which usually is the way it is because things like racism, classism, those aren't, you're not born with them. They're taught. So it's right. Just.
And that's what they were saying. Like they didn't, they're saying that like they didn't know better. Their parents taught them these ways. People are not instinctually, you know, judgmental or evil or classist or racist. It's like what you're taught. Mm-hmm. So they're all very thankful for the fact that they can sit there and find common ground with each other and eat at a table together. And they go around and they talk about what they're thankful for.
As freaking Hunter is like staring at them. Melissa, does he have nothing better to do on Thanksgiving Day than stare at a bunch of children Creeper. Eating dinner?
Yeah. This scene was so cute. And, I was like, oh, this is why this show is so good, right?
Yeah.
Because it hits these like sweet moments really, really well. And then, yeah, there's like the two jerks that are like watching these children and rolling their eyes and whatever. It's like, just go be miserable somewhere else. It's fine. Like, leave these children to their cute little dinner and go away.
Yes. Who judges children like from the sidelines like that?
Apparently they have nothing better to do. Yeah. So we get them going around the table saying what they're thankful for. Eric is thankful to eat and he's thankful to be having dinner with his brother and sister and their friends. Frankie's thankful for the guests and the food. Herman's thankful to be sitting next to Morgan. Morgan's thankful to sit at the kids' table for once. I think it's that everybody's at the kids' table, right?
No, she said, I'm thankful for being for sitting at the kids' table for once.
I was gonna say, you don't want to sit at the kids' table.
Exactly. That's why she wants to. Right. She's grateful for or thankful this time she's at the kids' table.
Oh, okay.
Because the adults' table is such a drag and everyone's judgy and haters.
Yeah. Sean's thankful. Corey's his friend. And Corey's thankful to like people for who they are, even if they're like being raised differently. And of course, the parents are all watching this all happen, feeling horrible about themselves.
Yeah, you should feel like shit.
Exactly. And they're like, you know what? We could try this again. And then they all like join in to Frankie's family's dinner. It's like, geez, what happened to your freaking turkey dinner? Like, you're just taking over Frankie's. Good thing he's generous.
Like, Vader's not going to be happy.
Yeah. I know, right? Freaking, what's his name? Vader. Yeah, Vader is going to come out and be like, start woofing at them and be like, where's my food, Frankie? Like, where is he anyways? Not even at Thanksgiving dinner. So we're at school the next day and we get Feeny talking about these papers that they had to submit. And Feeny asks Sean to read his paper to the class. And like, this is so good. Like, I mean, for Sean alone, right? Like, he never does any of his work. But the fact that he turns in this paper and it's so thoughtful. I mean, he says, you know, he thought prejudice only based on class only happened in other countries. He says people can be just as undeveloped and just as cruel as long as children are aware and learn that there's hope for everybody. And Feeny gives him an A+. Like, this was a great moment for Sean, I thought, like in this whole episode. Obviously, we're looking at, you know, the classes and kind of battle of the classes and, you know, saying people can't get along if they're from two different walks of life, basically. But I don't know. I really like this single moment for Melissa for Sean. Like, I just think like it's a nice talking point for him.
I love it for Sean. And I love like Feeny's little like, I'm as surprised as you are. I thought that was cute. I really cringed at like the words like undeveloped and yes. like all of this stuff that was like,
third, I think he says third world countries at some point, yeah, which isn't like something you say anymore.
Pretty awful, like racist language in this. Like nowadays, it's like, okay, we don't. This is not how we should talk about other countries
in general
at all.
Yeah.
But the part where Sean was able to, I think, take his own life experience and kind of share that, I thought that was cute.
Right, and the fact that he can articulate that, which is, and put it into writing, I think shows that Sean's growing and he's able to, you know, write about and talk about his experiences and becoming a better student. And I'm happy that he got that A+. It's a rarity for him.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it is something that, like, I think living through really did help him understand the assignment and understand kind of, not obviously in a very large, vague sense, what other countries might be going through. But yeah, I like this episode. It was not one that I remembered, not on my radar, but I did enjoy it. And I do think, like, it kind of goes nicely with the next episode, given Corey and Sean's friendship, and kind of that is the main crux of the episode in the next one. But before we get into our next episode, let's take a quick ad break.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, let's get into An Affair to Forget. This one I remembered. This one I remembered. We start off at school. Sean and Jennifer, who's new to us. We never met you, Jennifer. We're only going to see you once. They broke up this morning. She's on the prowl and Sean is on the floor with the line, "She dumped me. She dumped me good. I didn't see it coming."
It's fine, Sean. You've got someone better coming. It's fine.
Yes. Oh, I can't wait to see Angela.
Yeah, only a few months away, a year away. I'm so excited for that.
It's going to be great. And Corey's very upset for him. Topanga says that he can do better. She's pretty, she's tall, and she drives a red convertible. I date her.
I love Topanga so much, and especially like in this, she's so funny.
I like the height disparity between her and Jennifer the whole time.
Jennifer is so tall.
Yes,
very how tall.
Like
she has to be like 6 foot. Yeah,
yeah, she's a model in real life. Like I kind of saw what she's up to these days. But I wonder, she has to be at least like 5'9" in this.
I feel like she has to be taller than that.
She,
like,
towers she looks over. But okay, but like Sean, like Ryder Strong.
Oh, they're both on the smaller
short,
side.
Yeah. Is so short. And like Topanga is short, and all like so she
all
just
three
like
of them are
towers yeah over them. This woman is evil.
Yeah.
She definitely is
evil.
This is why I complained about this episode, was just how quickly this like evil plot of hers unfolds. Like it was, yes. I had kind of seen the synopsis for the episode. And so I was expecting it to play out over like a couple scenes, but it's like, oh, instantly in this first scene, it's like they've broken up with, like Sean tells her like, oh, you're, you know, what Corey had said, and she's like, oh well, I'll get back at Corey by like getting back with, like it was just so fast.
Yeah, it was like, all premeditated manipulation. It's and it's almost worse because it's like, you know, she didn't plan it out. She was just like at a switch. It's like as soon as you call her stuck up, conceited, and there's
her nose is
something
fake
wrong with your nose.
Yeah,
she's like, what do you mean? What's wrong with my nose? I will torment you. And she knows it's Corey right away behind all these bad things that Sean said to her. And she says, you know what? I've been thinking, like, why can't we work this out? And with a kiss, the spell has begun over Sean.
It's all it takes for Sean is a good kiss and he's on your side, basically.
Yeah. he sells out Corey's Nana. How could he?
I so know, funny. The Nana.
Yeah, and I love when it, what's funny is like certain scenes really stick out in my mind for Boy Meets World, and for some reason this was one of them. I don't know why, but when she's walking by with Sean and she passes Corey and Topanga, I knew she was gonna hiss at him. I remembered that, like I remembered him being like and they walk off together and he's like, what does that mean? And Topanga's like, nothing good. it's not good.
Melissa, have you ever been hissed at?
Probably. I don't know.
By a cat, like, or a human?
A human. Well, that's, like, not, no, probably not.
By a cat?
Definitely by a cat. Yeah. But I just, indignant Corey is my favorite Corey. And he, like, he gets so worked up about things sometimes. And, like, later on, this line of anticipating my head meat, like, just sent me. He's so funny when he gets all worked up about something. And especially when it's, like, he's all feeling put out by somebody and something in his life is out to get him.
He's so just, like, we've all done it. Like, we've all done it. And this is something that is, like, so tricky. When your friend breaks up with their significant other, or, like, if they're in a fight, you're like, oh, they freaking suck. Like, I never liked him, or, like, he, you know, he has an ugly face, like, blah, blah, blah. And you have to be so careful, because they always, like, get back together with them. And then they're like, oh, and then you're like, I didn't mean what I said. Like, he doesn't really have an ugly face. Like, I was just talking out my butt, like, you know, but, you know, he was just trying to be Sean's hype man.
Yeah, he was just trying to make him feel better, and of course it totally backfires on him. So we're now at Chubby's, and Corey asks Sean what it means when a girl hisses. Sean says she was just being playful. She was upset about all those things that Corey said. And I love Corey. This has happened to Corey so many times, and I feel like it's going to happen so many more times, where he starts talking about Jennifer. He says that, what does he call? He calls her Zathrak, All Hail Zathrak, the undead.
What does it mean?
It sounds like a D&D term, Alyssa.
Yeah, is this a D&D character?
It totally did.
Zathrak, the undead.
Yeah, but I just love this idea that he's, like, given her this whole evil persona, and she's gonna come feast on his head meat. It was just so funny.
Yeah, it was great. It was wonderful. That line was amazing. And of course, we have Sean being like, you shouldn't stop talking. And she hears everything, and she's like, some people only want to tear us apart. We shouldn't let them. And then she, like, makes out with Sean a couple times on the cubicles. What are they called? Booths. It's like, people are gonna sit there. Like, what are you doing? I don't understand people who make out in public like this. It just makes me uncomfortable. And that's all it takes.
Really, really do hate public affection like this.
I was gonna say, we all know Jess is not a fan of PDA.
Not a PDA
I don't
person.
Know. I mean, just let them live.
I mean, what if people want to sit there?
What if people
sit there? Like, you're in a booth. Like, that's somebody else's booth.
It's their booth. They always
no.
Sit there.
That was the other booth. They were making out in the other booth.
Got it. Yeah, you're right.
And she says that if you want to be my boyfriend, or excuse me, my boyfriend, you have to tell Corey you can't see him anymore. And poor Corey, he's now on the floor. He dumped me. He dumped me good. It's awful. All of that for a kiss, Melissa. For a kiss. That's it.
It's such a trope of, I feel like, the '90s, right? Where it's like, and, like, Boy Meets World will play on this multiple times, right? Where the girl says something and the guy's like, no, and then kisses him. And he's like, do you know what? You have some good points. Like, it's – you see it in this show multiple times. And you'll see it in other shows of this era all the time. I don't know. There's so many red flags in this situation. It's like, run, Sean, run.
Yeah. Get out of here. But we're at the Matthews house, and Amy and Alan get home late. It's 11 o'clock. Eric jokes about being worried about them, but he really didn't even notice they were gone. And apparently they went to a one-woman show. She sat on a stool and told a remarkable story about her life. $30 for tickets, which apparently is a lot.
That sounds like a deal.
That's what I thought.
Not that much.
300 seat theater was sold out, and Amy said they were lucky to get seats. And of course, Eric has an idea, because why wouldn't he have an idea? He's gonna write his own one-man show. Did you love the technology in this episode, Melissa, of the huge laptop with the giant printer?
Yeah, I know. I was wondering if the printer was one of those. Do you remember where the paper had, like, the lines of holes down either side?
Yes.
Like, those types of printers, we had to rip off the edge.
Yeah.
Very satisfying. I, like, never minded ripping off the perforated edges.
I had a teacher who hated those so much that she would, like, take points off if you left them on. Like,
what?
You had to remove them. Yeah.
Psycho.
That was a thing. So Eric is writing, look at me, a one woman show. And then he's like, oops, nope, I'm a man. And he wants to bounce the opening off of Corey, and Corey's like, nobody cares. I feel like finally we're getting to see Corey get some digs in at Aaron or Eric, because we've seen Eric like pretty much be very mean to Corey for most of these seasons we've watched.
I love Eric so much.
Yeah, I think that he's finally gotten to the point where I start appreciating him more. The first couple seasons, I feel like he mostly is around to like push Corey around and like have good hair. And I guess about it.
Yeah. But now we get like actually funny Eric.
Especially with Feeny.
Before it gets like dumb over Eric. Too much on the other side of like, you know, too stupid. So I feel like this is like definitely like the best Eric.
Yeah.
They dial up how dumb Eric is like progressively over the course of
the dial goes way, way up. They got a little too happy on the dial there.
Have you seen him on Critical Role yet, Jeff?
Not yet. So yeah, I'm watching Critical Role, which is a D&D show. And I know I'm getting close. Like Will has said, I'm getting close to the point where he's going to be on, where Will Friedle's going to be on. I'm very excited because like I know he's played it and I feel like he would be like very fun to watch. So I'm really excited for that. So
he's going
to
be – he comes
like
in
a like – guest star.
Oh, just a guest star?
Yeah. I think he comes in more than once though. I'm not sure, but – or maybe multiple episodes
or
something.
Yeah, and like he's hosted his own like Geek and Sundry stuff as well. Like I think he was quite involved and like,
yeah.
I think he's like a friend of
ours. Would watch that.
Yeah. I'll have to find the episode once I get to it and I'll send you the link, Sarah, if
you want to watch it. Send it over. So the phone rings and it's Sean and they have code names. It's Dory and Dawn and Denifer.
Which is dumb.
Denifer gets me. They get very like nostalgic, like, oh, it's so nice hearing your voice. It's been so long.
It's very mistressy dramatic. Affair yes. sounding where yep. it's like, I gotta see you. You're gonna let her stand in the way of what we have. I will not be ignored. Melissa, one of the things I remembered from this episode that holds up is when they both go to hang up the phone and then they like pull it back to wait to see each other.
And I remember like, that too. Movements too.
It's so sweet. And like obviously the joke here is like, oh, they're a romantic couple. Like that is the joke here. But like really, it's just two friends and they're so sweet. And like, gotta say, something that's really nice about this is Corey and Sean are not like your like bro, macho, masculine men. Like they express their feelings. And like that is very refreshing to see on television, especially something from the 90s where men are open about their feelings and open about their friendships with each other, Melissa. Like it's just cute to see.
Yeah, this friendship has always been so lovely. And you're right. Like Corey is someone who like has big emotions, right? And he's always shares them and he's, you know, this hopeless romantic. And so he does really kind of go against stereotype in a lot of ways, which is really lovely. Yeah, I didn't love the like passing like Eric dig of like, oh, I want my own room kind of thing. Like there's definitely like interspersed between the storyline, definitely there's some kind of homophobic jokes which are great, but generally they're too like pining for their friendship is very funny. And then having it all with this, all the lines that you're like, but she'll know. We can't. We have to meet in secret. It's all very dramatic.
It's very cute. And I love how they arranged to meet at the library the next day. And Sean, of course, Jennifer, Sarah is going to be there too. Like, Jennifer, what are you doing? Like, give Sean his space. Give him five seconds
Jennifer's
alone.
Jennifer's like all up on his shiz. And she goes like, oh, because he lies. He says that he's there to study. And she goes, look at that. Now that you're not hanging out with Corey, you have so much more time to focus on your schoolwork. Like, this is so much better for you. Sean had a Cinnabon for Corey with a C on it and a blue bow. And she's like, who's the Cinnabon for? And he's like, see, I knew you would be here. She eats Corey's Cinnabon.
She does. I love how there's a bow. Like, why do you put a bow on food? That's strange, but like...
Or a C. Why do you need to label it?
To label it.
Also, she's like, oh, it's so great that you're studying. Here you are at the library with nothing but a Cinnabon. Yeah.
And Topanga approaches, like, so subtle. She's like, there's something for you in the classic section. You know, old favorites.
Topanga is so, like... obviously like sketchy in this episode. She has no chill. Melissa, I also loved the interaction between Topanga and Jennifer when they're like, oh, do you know each other? Yeah, hi. Like, just catty, like, girl shit. Like, oh, yeah, I've heard of you, and I don't want to associate with you.
Yeah, that was very much like, yes, we know each other. No, we are not friends. Moving on. Like,
yes, very girl code right there. Yes.
Yeah.
And so, of course, Corey and John are like talking through the bookshelves. We both knew this would happen eventually. Less time for best friends to spend time together. It's only natural. And I just and I love Corey being like, that Cinnabon was for me, wasn't it?
Yeah. But I also loved when she was like, Corey, is that you? And he's like, no, it's the audiobook section.
Guys, we got to meet somewhere. Where? Paris. That's the first place she'll look.
This is just like a classic interaction. It's so good.
It's so sweet. I just love the entire thing about it. And then like the Jennifer approaches. She's like, you've been over here for a long time. He's here, isn't he? And her just like the physical gag of like her just like moving the books around and Corey just like moving like, all over the
ducking
place to avoid
and
her.
Moving.
Yeah. And then she's like, I'll sit behind. Come on, we have to go to French class. I'll sit behind you and rub your shoulders. Corey, I used to sit behind him. No, actually, Corey, you sat in front of him.
Yeah.
Yep.
But it's just so sweet. I just love their friendship so much. And I feel like this is such a good like episode that represents their friendship because they're so close and they're so sweet together. And Sarah, we get another Mr. Feeney. Mr. Feeney.
Our second Feeney call ever.
Yeah.
This is only the second one.
Only the second time so far.
Where you called out the first one.
Yeah. Yeah. And the funny thing is, what is Feeney doing, Sarah? What is he always doing?
Gardening. In his gardening smock.
Every time.
I love it.
It's midnight and he's out gardening.
Yeah. At all hours of the night, he must garden.
I can't believe he hasn't moved. Like, how can you live next to the Matthews?
Because he wouldn't be able to spy on the Matthews if he moved.
Yeah. I'm sure Feeney's mortgage is all paid off too. Like, I'm sure has to pay taxes and maybe an HOA fee as well.
Yeah. I just know too many teacher friends who refuse to live in the same city that they teach in because they don't want to run into their students.
Just like you go to the grocery store, you run into all your students. It's like way too much, I'm sure. Eric has finished his play. It's 400 pages. And Feeney's like, I don't want to read it. And he says, I rented a theater and I got you this free ticket above the bowling alley. And so Feeney gets a free ticket, but he needs Feeney to sell 50 to 100 tickets for $30 each. This is like very like high school fundraiser vibes where you're like a child and you're thrown a huge stack of like tickets or like candy bars to sell. And you're like, where am I going to sell the stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. Feeney offers him luck and wow.
Wow.
He has to say. It's like, yeah, this is not going to go well. But I love that Feeney is still like supportive, you know, regardless. And then we get Corey cooking. He's been at it all afternoon. Dinner was at 6:30 and now it's 7:00 and Topanga shows up. And of course, the Matthews think he's cooking for Topanga, but he's not. He's cooking beef brochettes for Sean. Melissa, have you ever had a beef brochette?
I have no idea what this is.
I don't either. It sounds fancy.
What is a beef brochette?
I feel like it's something that takes a long time to make based like on Corey's
little
attitude.
Roast beefs, maybe?
Maybe they're like roast beef nuggets.
Oh, they're like, no, they're not even. They're just like little like steak bites. How anticlimactic.
But you know what? You're probably. How old are they supposed to be at this? Like 14? 15.
15.
Like 15? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Topanga just had her sweet 16.
Yeah. Mm. So 15 going on 16. Yeah. But Topanga's pie looks amazing.
Yeah. Like, pie is hard.
And she even did like the, what is it, lattice or whatever on the top? Oh, impressive. And of course, Sean rings. He's not going to make it. He's playing tennis.
Corey's at the country club.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. Yeah. This is ridiculous. Talk about like, you know, like Sean dating this girl who goes to country clubs and like he's wearing this like sweater on his shoulders. Like he has the whole outfit. I just picture Melissa like Jennifer walking him into a store and being like, and you're going to wear this and like dressing him up like a doll.
I just want to know what Chet Hunter thinks about his son in this outfit, right? If Vern is a social climber, then what does this make Sean?
I would love to see that scene. Like that would have been so much fun. I'm sure, like, Verna was, like, buttoning up his little vest and, like, brushing his hair. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I can see that.
She's probably very pumped about it.
So Topanga says that there's something about a best friend that no one can replace. And so Topanga knows, like, Topanga is very supportive of Corey and Sean. That's why she made them a pie. Sean deserves someone sweet too. And Corey, she tells Corey, in an hour, go to Chubby's. And we're like, ooh, Topanga has a plan. Topanga's smart. She knows how to do this. We're excited. Even though she was not subtle at all earlier, we're still excited.
I also want to shout out the box of Cinnabon receipts that was apparently how she found out that they were friends. I was like, how many? First of all, like, it's not like he wrote Corey's name on the Cinnabon receipt.
Maybe so on the receipt it says Cinnabon with C on it.
Yeah, for Corey. But it's like, how many receipts must there have been, first of all? It's not just the one.
It's a, like, full shoebox Cinnabon receipt. Yeah.
Like, and it's like that it's... You didn't eat all of these cinnamon buns yourself, I guess.
It's like every day, like, Sean attempted to buy Corey a Cinnabon.
I can see that, like, every day Sean shows up to school with a Cinnabon for Corey. Like, so cute. Then we get the one-man show.
This was beautiful.
Crying. June 24th, 1978. I am born. So, Sarah, that would make him a Cancer. Oh, wait, he's cuspy. Is he a Cancer or is he...
No, he's full Cancer. He's past the cusp.
Okay. So, yeah. So, he's a Cancer. Do we think that's accurate? I don't feel like we said he was a Cancer when we did our podcast.
No, like, we say Aquarius, but I guess, like, he's very... I guess he's kind of like a homebody. Like, he likes to... I mean, nowadays, all he does is stay home.
It's because he doesn't have a job. Well, I guess he does have a job at the...
Yeah. I don't know. They don't believe in astrology.
What? Oh, Boy Meets World?
Yeah.
I wonder how they came up with this date, you know?
I don't know.
Just maybe it's one of the producers' date birthdays or something. Yeah, this is a horrible, horrible one-man show. Dance craze sweeps the nation. Disco. It's like, who's... And in 1984, I poo-poo on the bus. Nobody likes me. We have people, like, getting up and leaving. Amy, Allen, right, and Feeny away. All look, like, bored to death / bothered.
Embarrassed.
All of the above. Melissa, what did you think of the one-man show by Eric?
It's, like, exactly what you would want from a one-man show from Eric, right? Like, it's...
Yeah.
If it had been good, I would have been sad. Yeah, no, it had to be this ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. We're back at Chubby's.
I would have stayed for the whole thing.
So, oh, gosh. It's 400 pages. It could go on for hours.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Actually, no, like, how long is it? It's probably, like, 4 hours.
It's probably too long. How do you memorize all of it also? Because he wasn't reading from anything.
You just talk and talk and talk.
I think he just makes it up as he goes, honestly.
I think so. Yeah. That's what I think.
So we're at Chubby's, and Corey is there. Sean is there. And he says, Topanga, you wanted to see me? No, there's someone else. Topanga leaves, and there's Corey. They decide to play pool together. And I just how they get caught is Corey has chalk on his nose and Sean's wiping it off and Jennifer walks in. And Sean's defense is, this isn't Corey. This is cake.
Sorry, what does it mean? And he's like, know. It's not the cake that you think it is, but it's cake and I can't explain it. And she's like, how did you know I was here? And she said, I got an anonymous tip on my cellular device. And and then Topanga comes in, she's like, I did it. And they're like, Topanga, how could you?
We get our first Topanga.
Topanga. That's like the first one.
This is our first ever Topanga. Like, said like that. Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a momentous moment.
It is.
Topanga. And she goes, yes, it was I who made the call. It's time she knew. It's just so over the top.
So dramatic. Despite your evil attempt to keep them apart. at the end, true friendship is stronger than the allure of a cheap kiss.
Topanga's very good at this, Melissa. I feel like she handles this very well.
She's so smart, right? Like, she's so much smarter than anybody else in this show.
Truly.
So it's part of why she's like, okay, let me, like, fix all of this mess, because there's nobody's making good decisions right now.
So yes, let's put
everything back where it should be.
So Jen gives Sean an ultimatum. It's him or it's, and then she kisses him deeply. Sean asks what Corey has. And Corey's like, I can't top that. And then Chad's like, wait a minute. No, he finally snaps out of it. It took him all episode. But he finally is like, you know what? Corey's my friend. And I love this. And so is Topanga. Finally, an acknowledgement that Topanga is also your friend, Sean. We've all been waiting for it. Sarah and I, like, we've talked about this, how it bothers us that, like, we want them all to be friends, not it just to be Corey and Sean and then Corey and Topanga, and that's it. And then I just love this. I want to be friends with my friends. I don't want to be friends with you. And then she says, consider yourself dumped. But guess what? He's not bothered this time because he's getting more than he's losing. Very cute, no. Sarah. Very cute.
Yeah, I mean, their friendship is will span the test of time. Nothing can get between them. It's adorable. They are truly best friends. And she goes to Hiss again, but Corey's like, I know, Hiss. And they're happy. They're back to normal. No more secrets. No more lies. They're sneaking around. And what do they want to do? And they're like, we don't know. And then they're like, we'll see you at school tomorrow. And then they go the opposite direction.
You'd think after all this time apart, they would actually want to hang out, Melissa.
I guess not.
But I also think that this entire thing has probably happened in, like, a day. Like, they probably have still seen each other a ton.
Yeah, like, they see each other at school. They were at school.
They went to the library. They're at Chubby's, like. Yeah,
just see you at school tomorrow. Now, this is not the last time we will see Miss Jennifer Bassett.
Oh, it isn't? I didn't remember seeing her again.
No, because, of course, we will see her in the episode First Girlfriends Club. But wait, there's more.
Whoa.
Jennifer Bassett is Minkus's wife in Girl Meets World. And yes, she is the mother of Farkle.
Is she like named Jennifer Bassett in Girl Meets World?
Yes, she is.
Are you kidding?
Whoa. This is very intentional. Yes, this is a very intentional move by Girl Meets World. Mother of the Farkle. Wife of the Minkus.
Mother of the Farkle. I still can't believe his name is Farkle.
Can you believe it?
When your name is Minkus, what else do you name your son?
His last name is Minkus.
Yeah.
His first name is Stuart.
Farkle Minkus. Yeah.
Oh.
So if only we were brave enough to cover Girl Meets World, we can once again see Jennifer Bassett.
Big no from me, dog.
Minkus. She hyphenated her name.
Ugh.
She's a Bassett Minkus.
She's a Bassett Minkus.
Yeah.
Sounds like a weird breed of dog.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
Oh, no.
Well, Eric is still doing his show. Now he is talking about his trip over the summer. His parents are falling asleep. Feeny goes up there and he asks how he's doing. And Eric's like, I don't know why I thought this was a good idea. Like, my parents don't even want to hear me talk about myself. Like, why would I think anybody else would? And Feeny says, this is kind of my favorite line from Boy Meets World. He says, the play that is your life, all the great scenes. In the play that is your life, all the great scenes lie ahead of you. How lovely. I love that sentiment. And he goes, oh, do you think in like 30 or 40 years you want to, I would write a play that you would want to see. And then Feeny says, no, tonight pretty much killed any interest I had in theater.
Whoops. I do love that, like, the duality of that, right? Like, Feeny's so good at being supportive and lovely. And the Feeny-Eric dynamic is so good, right? Like, they say it at the very end.
So good.
But at the same time, Feeny's like, no, I'm not. Like, why is Beanie there in the first place? I don't understand.
For support, I guess.
Because they're friends.
Because he's supportive of Eric, and it's so sweet. But it's also, I love this, like, No, I'm done here.
And then we get Amy and Alan.
And then with all theater.
Amy and Alan are like, this part is good. Yeah, those two are great together. That's the best part is, like, that as the Feeny-Eric relationship develops, like, it really does make Feeny a lot more sympathetic and more real as a character, where in the early seasons, he really is just there for, like, disciplinary reasons 90% of the time. Like, he has those cute moments with Corey, like when he had the, remember the scene with the war, they talked about the war and Feeny wanted to watch TV and all that. Like, they have cute moments.
The European sneaker war.
Yes, but they're so much more rare than later seasons where Feeny does have more comedy. He's given more emotional, more relationships with the kids. I just love this moment with them together. It's very cute. But this was a good episode. I like this episode. I love seeing Corey and Sean's friendship. I just think, like, beyond the fact that there are, like, homophobic tones in it, I like seeing two men in a friendship expressing their, like, feelings for each other as friends. Like, it's just great to see.
Yeah. I've compared them to the Scrubs relationship of JD and Turk a lot. Like, I feel as though it feels very similar of like two men who are able to express their love for one another, and it's very enjoyable. And I think that these two episodes were a nice little arc for their friendship.
Yeah, their friendship is very much like the cornerstone of this whole show, I think, and it's very cute.
Yeah, I feel like people like to talk the most about, like, Corey and Topanga and, like, their, like, love and how it is one of those, like, big, huge relationships that we watched as children. But, like, the real loving relationship in this show is between Corey and Sean. Like, that they are the staple couple of the show. I really liked this episode. Next week we are covering season 4 episodes 12 and 13, Easy Street and B&B's B&B. That is not confusing at all to say.
Yeah. And so we will not be having Liana or Mike Bloom on for that.
No, unfortunately not.
Oh. What a missed opportunity.
Yes.
The B&B, the with the B&Bs at the B&B.
All the bees.
All the bees.
Sarah, are you ready for us to get into Fashion Hour today?
Fashion Hour. So, Melissa, if you do not know, we have two very prestigious fashion awards for this program. We have the Rachel Green Award for the most 90s outfit and the Paul Rudd Certificate for the most timeless outfit. Let's start off with the Rachel Green Award. I have for my first nominee, this is in Turkey Day, Amy's Thanksgiving outfit. She is wearing like this neutral color jacket, a white turtleneck, surprise, surprise.
Always
this,
a like, turtleneck little, with you, Sarah.
I know. Like this brown two-piece like suit, like a vest type of jacket maybe, and some brown pants and some loafers. I feel like this is very like working moms, like, hi, I'm Amy. I work like a little office job, and here's like my little business suit. But it's also something that you would like wear for Thanksgiving. Melissa, what do you think about Amy's outfit?
I feel like this color scheme is very 90s for some reason. Like, yes, the 90s like responded to the 80s and they were like, no color. Like,
that's
we're gonna do
very true.
Neutral
that's
tones.
Very true.
Neutral tones only.
Yeah, I could totally picture like my mom in this outfit. It's, I don't know. So I don't know why it like screams the time so much. Like, which, if it's like the cut of the jacket or what it is.
The jacket. But, yeah,
the shoulder pads.
Shoulder
for me.
Pads and the brown on brown tones. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of neutrals. The shoulder pads aren't helping because like it's making her look a little bit linebacker-ish.
She's very like, boxy.
Yeah, she's a very petite woman. And so to wear something that is so boxy and wide at the top doesn't exactly help. But like, yeah, I think it is very 90s because it's so neutral, like just neutrals on neutrals. That's it.
Yes. My next nomination is Jennifer's outfit, and she is wearing a white long sleeve undershirt underneath this like checkerboard plaid. What is this thingy? Whatever.
Some type of plaid. I don't know the actual name of it.
It's like on the tip of my tongue. But and it's like one of those like little schoolgirl dresses where it's like a high like neck, but not a turtleneck. Don't worry. And like kind of like a straight silhouette. And she's wearing some almost opaque black tights and another sort of black loafer or like kin heel type of shoe. And her hair is straight and blonde and parted in the middle. Jessica, what do you think? Oh, and the Trapper Keeper for her accessory.
Yeah, she does have a Trapper Keeper.
Yeah, look at that Trapper Keeper. What do you think?
Yeah, this outfit reminds me of like if you had a school uniform, like it would look like this almost. Like,
yeah,
if it was a one piece.
But she chose to wear it.
Again, more neutrals. We only have white, black, and gray in this entire outfit. But I mean, she's rocking it. It is on the shorter side, so she's showing off some leg, but she's getting away with it at school because she has tights on. Because you know, if she put those hands down, those fingertips are going farther than the end of that dress.
Well, she's very army and leggy.
She's army and leggy.
This feels like the younger version of Amy's outfit, yeah. Right? Like it's all the same colors. It's like she's very covered.
Yeah, yeah. I like this outfit though. I think that like it's a cute like schoolgirl outfit. And maybe I wonder, Melissa, if they did this because like the actress is a little older and they wanted to try to like age her down.
Yeah, I could see that. They're trying to like keep her very like age appropriate while still looking like sophisticated, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I only have two for my categories today. So between Amy and Jennifer, what do you guys think? What's your vote?
Oh, it's tough. Melissa, are you skewing one way or the other?
So we're voting for which one is the more 90s outfit?
Yes.
Oh, man. I think it's got to be the shoulder pads.
I was just going to say, I feel like Amy squeaks by because of the shoulder pads.
Look at you, Amy, winning it, getting the W with your China wear. Next up is the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness Award. My first nomination is Corey. Corey is wearing this little like pullover sweater. It's gray, it has some ribbed arms and a white undershirt. And look at him. Some I think the shoes are like Converse-y and some blue jeans. Wait, oh, I had this picture of him dancing. I really liked that picture. didn't talk about this, but like when they were dancing after they won the turkey, I was like living my best life with Corey. They were like doing like I don't know what this dance move is called, but they were just having like the best time ever winning that turkey. I want to see if I can find that picture of them dancing. Let's see. Oh, look at him. Look at him dance. He's so happy. What do you think about his moves, Melissa?
I love the dancing. The two of them having this like over exaggerated celebration because they won the food drive and whatever, right? Like, yeah. It's just pretty cute. Yeah.
Yeah. But what do you think about his outfit? Do you like, is this the sweater that you would want to go in? Is it cozy for you?
It's okay. There's parts of it that I probably, I think the collar is kind of weird and, I don't know. It looks cozy, but it's probably like not my first choice.
Yeah. Not a fan. Wait, Jessica, what do you think about Corey blowing his nails as if he just got a manicure, knowing that he was going to win?
Yeah, it is very, like, braggadocious. Like, he's just like, no competition. I can just sit back and relax. I love that that confidence energy. That's my kind of thing. I also like this sweater. I feel like, honestly, I think I've bought this sweater for my husband before.
Yeah, it looks like a wool sweater, to be honest.
It does look like a wool sweater. I like it.
Yeah, my next nomination is another Thanksgiving outfit. Now, I think that Thanksgiving fashion is underrated in general because
there are so many turtlenecks.
So many fall aesthetic outfits. So now I have Eric's Thanksgiving outfit. And I love this. He looks like a little model. He's wearing like a cream turtleneck.
Say it louder for the people in the back, Sarah. What is he wearing?
Beige-ish. it's not that tight to the neck. Look at this. It's like almost a crown neck, but and then he's wearing over that he's wearing this like greenish suede jacket, and he's wearing some black pants and a belt and some black shoes, and I don't know, like I'm really feeling my fantasy with this outfit. This is kind of like, I don't know, I wish men wore this all the time, not just on Thanksgiving. Am I losing it?
No, he looks good. If I could handle turtlenecks, like I would want that sweater. Yeah. It looks very cozy.
I agree. I think this is a nice outfit. I think the only thing that I would change is like, I feel like it shouldn't be tucked in. I don't know.
No, it absolutely should
like,
not be tucked
in. People don't tuck things in anymore. But I think that I like the color palette here. Again, pretty neutral because we have the cream turtleneck. But you get a little bit of like hunter green. And maybe that's, he's like, oh, we're going to the hunters. Got to put on my hunter green jacket.
A themed outfit. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. Makes it even better, doesn't it?
Yeah. All right. So I feel like I know where this is going, but I'll ask the question. Are we voting for Corey or Eric today for the Paul Rudd Certificate Timelessness Award?
I feel like it has Eric, to be Eric.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So congratulations to Amy and Eric. Very happy for you both for winning this week's Fashion Awards.
Amazing. Melissa, thank you so much for coming on. This was such a pleasure. It was a long time coming. It took four seasons, but we finally got you on.
Yeah, because I invited myself on, and I don't regret
Jessica.
Doing it.
I didn't know she watched Boy Meets World.
It's fair. I don't think we've ever talked about Boy
That's
Meets
what
World.
I'm saying.
It's
See, fine. People just need to tell me more things, and then I'll know to invite them on.
Right. Jessica doesn't know enough secrets. She needs more.
I need all the secrets.
She needs more secrets.
Exactly. Melissa, do your plugs. What do you have going on? Tell the world.
Sure. I podcast over for the Post Show Recaps Patreon. So patreon.com/postshowrecaps for YA. We cover young adult fiction. So we've done Twilight and The Hunger Games. October, we did a bunch of scary movies. And then we have something new coming next week. So check out the Patreon. A few of our episodes have been on the live on the main feed as well. If you want to just get a taste, see if it's worth the $5 a month. I promise it is. Otherwise, I play Dungeons and Dragons over on twitch.tv/DMPhilly on Tuesdays for the Dragonfly show. And then I'm also on Humble Year, where we play cute woodland animals in a D&D world. So two episodes of that are up over on Rich's Twitch stream. Highly recommend. I play a tiny mouse person with a big personality, and she's really fun. So. Yeah, even if you're not like a big D&D person, I think it's still
it's just like storytelling.
Watch.
Like if you like a good story, go watch it.
Yeah, cute animals plus, you know, fun story. I think it's a good time. So yeah,
it's very fun. It is very fun. I highly recommend checking out anything Philly puts out because he's amazing. Again, that's twitch.tv/DMPhilly for those interested in that link. Sarah, what do we have coming up the month of October? I'm still in October brain. We're into November now. What's going on for November?
Yeah, it's Julia Roberts Appreciation Month. So we recorded Notting Hill with Deidre talking about the PSR Discord and that community. So that will be coming out. It will have already come out. So, you know, look in your little podcatcher box and, you know, tune into that. Later this month, we will be covering Runaway Bride with Kurz from the Wombat Water community. And then we are having another slumber party. We've talked about this before. By the time you're listening to this, the poll will be closed. But just for poll's sake, I'll tell you what's in the lead currently. With 35.6, the Felicity pilot reaction is in the lead, as shortly followed by the 90s Sporkle trivia. So only time will tell what podcasts we will do when we're together, but that's a future problem. That's not for current Sarah and Jessica.
Melissa, which would you like to see of the four? It's Felicity pilot. Yeah. Sporkle quizzes, a random movie chosen by the listeners, or like an Ask Me Anything type of podcast?
Probably just and ask me anything or like Sporkle quizzes, just like something that you can kind of riff off. And
yeah. Yeah.
But I never watched Felicity when it was out, so I don't really know.
Yeah, Felicity stands go hard.
Felicity contingent of the listeners.
Apparently.
Yeah. I would be curious to see if somebody created a robot to vote multiple times.
I don't think so. How many votes does it have, Sarah? I don't think we're in that
only
territory.
45.
Go check out Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Make sure.
Yeah, Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Yeah, yeah.
Get the tabulator on it.
Yes.
Yeah. So tune in to that. And then you can catch us at Shit90sPod on Twitter and Instagram and www.shit90spod.com to send in feedback or leave us a voicemail. And then you can find me at Sarah Ferguson on the Twitter. Jessica, what's going on with you?
As always, you can find me at Post Show Recaps. I'm on the Community Building podcast with Josh Wigler, as well as the Succession podcast with Josh Wigler and Grace Leader. That's going really well. I'm always hyping up Succession. More people should watch it. It's won awards. It's fantastic. Sarah would hate it, but a lot of people would like it. So go watch that show and listen to those podcasts. As always, like Melissa said, become a patron of Post Show Recaps. It really is where I spend the majority of my time. Sarah is now a patron too. She's in the Discord as well. You can sign up at the $5 level and get just a little bit of access to the Discord, or the $10 level and you get to see everything and hang out with us. It really is the best time. So go do that. PostShowRecaps.com/patron.
I will say I am having a good time. I was a little resistant because I get overwhelmed sometimes.
It's but a lot.
I've been having a ball.
I think the thing is you need to find your spot, right? Some people are snack chat people, some people are D&D people, some people are pet people. You just need to like find your zone and then occupy that zone, I think.
I also think like you know, start with a bit and then expand as you have time, right? You don't have to be like, oh, I'm gonna post in 45 channels all at once, right? Like you post in one, maybe a second one. And then you move. We've got Sarah playing D&D now. Like, sky's the limit.
Anything's possible, people.
Anything's possible.
Thank you all for joining us. Thank you again, Melissa. This was so much fun.
Thanks for having me.
We will talk to you all next time. Bye, everyone.
Just ask. Shit90 shows taught me.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.